fourth chapter of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater, everybody say greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I want you to say those words. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, what this verse in light, in harmony with what I've already read here, to keep it all in context, what this verse number 4 is saying, it's saying greater is he that is in you than that Antichrist spirit that's already in the world. And we have to deal with that every day of our lives. Amen. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. My subject today is... Everybody say... That means there's an error. Do it again. Error. A little louder. You may be seated. I just hate that sound, you know. We didn't do too good a job mocking it. I mean, we didn't. It sound, you know, but it just, you know. Oh, man. I don't know if you've ever been in a gong show where you were performing and, you know, they hit the big old thing, made you stop because you just weren't pleasing the judges. And that always bothered me, too. Or if I get on a computer and, you know, try to go to a website and... Yeah, error. Or when I was in school, you know, always having to deal with errors. And a lot of things we do is by trial and error. Just things that we set out to do sometimes we don't know for sure if it's going to work out or not work out, and we make mistakes along the way, and we get that It may not be a loud sound, but it's, you know, it's there. It's just not working out. There's an error. There's a problem. And our biggest problem that we have to deal with, I guess, you know, we can call it a problem if we want to. It's a problem for some and a challenge to others. Is the fact that the Antichrist spirit is in the world. And what that is something that's been around a long time. It's something that was cast out of heaven. It was anti-God. It was, let me be God's spirit. Let me be the high and lifted up one spirit. Let me be noticed. Why should God get all the glory? Why should God get praise? After all, look at what all I can do and what I have done and who I am and where I'm coming from. That's the spirit that's in the world. You know, got to show somebody who I am, what I am. A lot of people are just simply driven through life by the fact that they have to prove something to somebody. Just got to just got to prove that I can outdo somebody else. You ever run into anybody like that? You know? Well, if you ever get that feeling on you, that says, yeah, I got to show somebody what all I can do. I've seen it in churches. I'll just use an example of musicians in the church. You know, I'm into music a lot. And I've been in a lot of places where I was involved in directing music. Had a lot of people to work with in various functions, playing instruments. And, of course, you always have four or five or six or eight that want to be the drummer because that drummer is seen and heard. And then you have to deal with that because they all can play the drums real well. And they all think they're better than the others. And then, you know, then I've been in these large churches where four or five organists are all there and they want to play the instrument. And sometimes that old Antichrist spirit showed up. And it was, let me do it. And if I don't do it, I'm not speaking to you anymore. You know, that kind of a thing. Or choose me, because that one gets to do it more than me. Have you ever run into anybody that gets a little bit jealous because maybe somebody else gets a little bit more attention than they do? This is actually just a spirit that's just simply in the world. When you were born, you just came into this. It was in the air that you breathed. It didn't take you long. You probably, before you were 2 years old, wanted to have your way no matter what it did to anybody else. It's just part of us. And we grow up, and if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being in every way of our lives influenced by something that has been against God, against the ways of God, and is against anything that is of God even now. Even your very nature is Antichrist. Your thoughts that are not of God, your carnality thoughts, our thoughts when we're not thinking good thoughts. The carnal mind, the Bible says, is enmity against God. The reason he says, your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord, is because our ways are the ways of that which is anti-God or anti-Christ. So, when it's talking about here in the book of John, any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, if you just read that, you may not understand what that's saying. I think everybody knows that, especially if you go to church, a Christian church, that Jesus Christ, you believe that Jesus was born and he lived on this earth and he did have flesh and bones. Now, if you think just confessing that Jesus came in the flesh and lived on this earth is going to fix everything, and you're not of the world, and you're not of the Antichrist spirit, you're in error in your thoughts. Because that's not even what it's talking about. What this is saying, if you're all hung up on your hang-ups, if you're saying things like, I don't know how I'm going to make it, and you claim to be a child of God, that's against God because you do know how you're going to make it. I can do all things through Christ. That's Antichrist. See, anything that's not of faith according to the Word of God is sin. That's what the Bible says. Anything that's not of faith. In other words, if a Christian says, I don't believe I can make it, that's a sin. Because it's anti-faith. Anti-faith. God, because there's no trust in the God who's able to get you through. We cannot say I can't and I can at the same time. We cannot go forward and backward at the same time. We cannot go up and down at the same time. There are some principles that are established. And when we go against these things, they have to be. They're necessary. They are there. They are in place. And they're just part of living. When we go against these things, we get an error in our lives to have to deal with. And sometimes these errors bring corruption into our lives. Because, you know, you may not even know that you're living in error. But there are signals sometimes to let you know. You know, sometimes it's no more than maybe a little ringing of a bell. You know, if you're sitting, for instance, at a computer, or maybe a certain sound, because these computers have sounds built into them for certain types of errors and certain types of signals to let you know what's going on, if you understand what it's saying, if you understand what those little sounds are all about. It means, wait a minute, something is calling for my attention. And God has placed it within every one of us to be able to recognize when we're going the wrong direction. I mean, if you were standing out here on the ground and all of a sudden you just started going up, you would know something's happened that should not be happening. Gravity is not working anymore. It'd be a frightening feeling, wouldn't it? If all of a sudden you just found yourself drifting into the clouds. Because you would certainly wonder, you know, when you get about 80 feet in the air, wonder if gravity is going to kick in again. But God has set certain things in order, and they are established, and nothing's going to change it, because God made it this way. There are reasons why the world turns. There are reasons why the world travels around the sun. There are reasons why the moon has its orbit. There are reasons why everything is in motion and going somewhere, because the Almighty God that created all things knows the end from the beginning, and He knows how to do everything and make it work just right. And we come along as mortal beings and we think we got it all figured out sometimes. And you can hear it in the school systems. Hey, don't talk about God in here. You can hear it with the politicians. You can hear it in the news media. Unless you're in New Orleans today or somewhere close and can't get out of town, since the storm is accelerating and coming quite quickly and supposedly now may go ashore in the morning as a Category 4 or 5 hurricane and just tear everything up again. And there are people today saying, we need to pray. I was listening to a TV station, you know. I mean, we're not supposed to talk about watching TV too much. So I don't really watch TV. I just watch the Internet. So anytime I want TV, I can get it on my computer. And so I tuned in to a New Orleans station broadcasting live on the Internet, a television station, just to see what all they were saying. And these news commentators last night were talking about this storm that's about to come ashore. And one of the ladies, it was very difficult for her, but she was saying, you know, by Tuesday, all these things around us are going to be changed. She said, if everything goes as the weather people are saying, and as everything seems to be unfolding, by Tuesday, there's going to be major catastrophe. And all these things, we're going to have to leave here in a few hours, she said, all this is going to be submerged underwater. And there's going to be catastrophic damage. And she talked about it, and she turned around and she said with a trembling voice, this is a news lady, a professional news lady, turned around and faced the camera. She said, you know, maybe we should pray. And that was, it seemed, you could see it on her face. That's probably the hardest thing she's ever said in her life. In this church, we have it made. We have forced our way past the error. We have boldly come to the throne of grace and found mercy and help in the time of need. When we realized we were going the wrong direction and that we were going into some things that were just not of God, and we were thinking wrong thoughts and doing wrong things, and we found ourselves in a total mess, we found some way to get through it all and touch God. Hallelujah. And what God has put in place that never will change is He has made Himself reachable to every man, woman, boy, and girl. All you got to do is reach out in faith and believe He's there. And if you really believe it, He is there. Even if you don't believe it, He's there. You just miss out on it and you get a, you know, because you don't believe it. Because if you don't believe it, you won't reach for Him. If you don't believe it, you won't pray to Him. If you don't believe it, you won't live for Him. If you don't believe it, you won't praise Him. If you don't believe it, you won't acknowledge that there even is a God. But if you ever do want to come to Him, if you ever do want to receive from Him, if you ever want to get blessed by Him, first you must believe. Believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking Him is not necessarily pounding on something or stomping your foot or rolling in the floor. Diligently seeking Him means you've passed that point of doubt. Now you believe and you're never going to stop believing. Now you trust and you're never going to stop trusting. You've gone past that which is trying to hold you back. You've gone past that which is trying to keep you down. You've broken through the barriers and you've gone on through the valleys and the walls and you've broken free, and diligently you have sought Him until you have found yourself in an area where He can give you a shield and a sword and a helmet and give you all the protection that God has in this world. Full of errors. I don't want to say frustrated. I don't want to say tired of. I just get so feeling sorry for the people living in error today. That I talk to all around me up and down these streets. And I'm going to say something here. And I hope that people won't turn against me for this. AA's is not the answer for alcoholics and drug addicts. I've watched it all my life. It always fails. You know what AA's is? It is a way to take somebody that's in a mess. Now, I got a lot of friends that are in the AA's, and I got a lot of friends who support it, and a lot of friends who are in charge of meetings. So I'm not in any way trying to be personally mean, but I'm just telling you something. AA's is part of the Antichrist spirit. Because it says, come on over here. You can never overcome your problem. So depend on us. So when it's church time, I can't stay for all the service because I've got a meeting to go to. And we saw what good that did to the 20 or so people who passed through here who are not serving God today because AA said, come with us. If it's not AA, it's some church that denies the name of Jesus in water baptism. Come on over here. We've got a bigger congregation. Come over here. We've got more programs going for the children. Come on over here. We are more free to just do it our way. You don't have to worry about things in our church that they seem to be so strict about in that church where you go. Hey, this is not about standards. This is not about clothes. This is not about hair. This is whether or not we're living in truth or error. This is whether or not we're worshiping the true God or an imposter who says, I'm your God. Serve me. I'm your one that puts the pressure on you. And you have to bow to me. You see, God allows us to freely bow to Him. But the imposter that wants us to think He's God makes us bow. He puts the pressure on and says, you're going to bow. If He would allow me, Tuesday morning I'd wake up on my face, bowed down to Him. If God would allow me to do that. But I ain't going to bow down to that. I'll be serving God or I have to serve Him on a stump Tuesday. Because this is not a question of whether we go under or not. We've already passed that point. We're going up. We're going over. We've already broken through. We've got it made. Praise God, we're living on the hallelujah side. We have come past the errors into the place where God is smiling and God is receiving praise. God is receiving glory. God is receiving worship. He's the true God. He's the living God because everything we do is backed up by His Word. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, when I got baptized, they said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Doesn't that include Jesus? You know, that's a pretty good question, I suppose. And then I hear that followed up by, after all, Jesus is the one who said, teaching them to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The problem is, Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. And so we take the only name that's given according to the Word of God. The only name that's given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And it says in the Word of God, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Every tongue confesses. Now, this being true, Jesus is the greatest name that there is. There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is no higher tower than the tower that's called Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus. And so when somebody says, it's just as good. It's just as good to settle for less than the name in what we do, everybody say, eh. There's an error. There's an error because I'll tell you what, the Word of God says, whatsoever you do, everybody say, whatsoever,
whatsoever.
Ye do,
in
word,
or
in deed,
do all,
in the name,
of the titles.
Yeah. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the church. Yeah. Whatsoever you do, now let's think about what this word is saying. Everybody say, whatsoever. Does that leave out anything? Praise God. I'm so glad to see you folks come in. Praise God. What a beautiful family. Amen. You know these folks sitting over here? Amen. Whatsoever, that means you're not leaving anything out. Whatsoever you do, that means if you do anything, that's the Word of God. If you do anything, whatsoever you do, then why is it that people can pray in Jesus' name? They can do all kinds of things in Jesus' name. And when it comes time to get baptized, they say, let's leave off the name and use the titles. That's an error. There's no power in the title. You can't sign your check and go to the bank and get it cashed with father, son, or husband. You got to use a name. If we got enough sense to know that, we ought to also know that if you want to get your sin out of your life, when you go to the waters to get baptized, you're doing something. You're saying something. Whatsoever you do in word are indeed, according to this Bible. How many of you believe the Bible? Whatsoever you do in word are indeed. Do how much?
All.
All. In the name of Jesus. So anything you do in word or deed needs to be done in the name of Jesus. Since there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If I were you, and I wasn't sure if I was baptized right, I would get in the water as soon as I could and have the preacher to baptize me in the name of Jesus. Because if the Word of God is true and you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you can be going through the motions of praising God, singing and shouting hallelujah, and you're still living in error. Everybody say, I don't mean to be shouting real loud. Sometimes you can make the point better if you just talk, just regular talk. I'm an emotional person, an expressive person, and sometimes I just like to shout it out. But I don't want to lose you with the sound of my voice. Trying to get a point across that there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. And all these spirits are trying to say, come over this way. Don't listen to that. You don't have, you know what? You can start talking to a person that calls himself a Christian. You can look them right in the eye and they'll be smiling and praising God with you and just having fellowship and just having a wonderful time until you mention the name of Jesus. And then they start saying things like, oh, you must be Jesus only. You must go to one of them apostolic churches, huh? Or, you know, and if you talk about being baptized in Jesus' name, they may call you a heretic. After all, Paul said, after the way they call heresy, that's the way I worship God. There was a reason why he took those disciples of John out there on that creek bank or riverside, whatever it was. And he said to them in the 19th chapter of Acts, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How then were you baptized? How are you baptized? Now, why did that end up in the Bible? This conversation that Paul had with disciples of John who believed the preaching of John. And they had been baptized by John in the Jordan River, the same John that baptized Jesus. John the Baptist had baptized these men. And this man called Paul said, how were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, 19th chapter of Acts. And he said, well, John baptized, saying to the people they needed to believe on him. That's to come. Now, when they heard this, they believed on him, and thus they were baptized over again in the name of Jesus. Read it for yourself. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible where anybody ever had a conversation like that with any apostle or any preacher. When the preacher came up and said, how are you baptized? And they said, in Jesus' name. Well, you need to go get baptized over again and use the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It won't work. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? If it's ever going to get preached, it's going to have to be preached by somebody that believes in this. Now, people that may want to scoff, I mean, they stoned people to death for this. You read about the history of the church, people got stoned to death for preaching Jesus' name. Jesus' name. But I'm just old-fashioned enough and apostolic enough and broke through enough barriers enough, and I'm getting old enough and I don't have anything to lose enough to tell you you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. There is no other way to get the sin out of your life. And God loves it when you say praise the Lord, and God loves it when you say hallelujah, and God loves it when you go to church and you do your best and you pay your tithes and you give any offerings and you do all you can to help your fellow man, but God's still waiting on a yes when it comes to His name. The two things the Antichrist spirit has accomplished so far that has hoodwinked and tricked so many people trying to serve God: he has taken the importance of believing on the name of Jesus and the Godhead out of Christianity. And almost anywhere you go, when they call it a church or they call it a Christian movement of any kind, they will teach you that God is three persons. You've heard of the Trinity, haven't you? God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Now, I'm not fighting anybody. I'm not fighting any churches. But like I said, if it's going to get said, it's going to have to be said by somebody who believes it. Because you're not going to ever hear a Trinitarian say what I'm about to say. Because they would be undoing what they've been trying to do. If there are three persons in the Godhead, they all three need to have a name. And if there's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, then they all got to have the same name. So why make it so complicated and say God is three persons? Go ahead and let Him be one, since the Word of God says He's one. Why don't we just agree with the Bible? Instead of trying to listen to this spirit that says, no, I have something else, just like it talked to Eve. Come over here. Did God say that? Listen to me. Hath God said you shall... Oh, wait a minute. Look, if you listen to me, you'll have knowledge of good and evil. Who wants that? Wouldn't you like to get past all this evil? Praise God. So, if Jesus is the name of God the Father, and Jesus is the name of God the Son, and Jesus is the name of God the Holy Ghost, and they're all three co-equal, co-eternal, co-existence, and in every way, they are all three God. Just like that man this week said, you know, I don't like the way you talk on the internet and the way you say things on the internet about God, because you're going against the grain here. You and I believe in the same God. We're just expressing it differently. But according to what I read in the Bible, God said, I will have no other God beside me. So if there are two other persons in the Godhead, that's two beside Him He won't have. Thank you, Jesus. Especially in light of the fact that they're called co-equal, co-eternal. That means there's another one just like Him. That means there's two others just like Him. That's carnality. That's antichrist spirit. That's idolatry. Let me tell you what the truth is. The Word of God declares there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the one that sent me. I and my Father are one. God in Christ, Christ in God, the Father in you. I came in my Father's name. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Except you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. And everybody wants to close the book and pretend that's not there. But it is there. It is there. And to try to serve God and come up any other way is an error. Hallelujah. I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. I'm not mad at anybody, not against anybody. I just know something that everybody needs to know. Hey, now a lot of people can say it a lot better than I can. So if you got a computer, if you have access to the internet, there's an old site we've had for a while, but it's new again, called Acts238.org. You go there, and there's a gang of preachers over there that are all preaching the same thing. A lot of them are dead now, but they're all expressing it in different ways. But they don't hold back. And you just go in there and just listen to them preach a while. If you don't get convinced that this is the truth, then you just got caught away in an error that won't quit, that's all. Because this is the truth. Look, if you're gonna play games, do it on something else, but not on your salvation. Don't play games with the name of Jesus. Don't play games with the Godhead. There is one Lord, there is one God, and there are no other gods. Amen. I mean, Lucifer wanted to be the second person in the Godhead. In fact, he wanted to be the first. Here he is trying to tempt Jesus on the earth, and he says, come on now. Do what I tell you. Do what I tell you to do. Talking to Jesus. Satan talking to Jesus. You do what I tell you to do, because I know who you are. And you know who you are. And you know what you can do. And you can obey me, Satan said, to Jesus. And I'll give you all the kingdoms of this earth. That spirit is all over the place right now. You just bow into your pressures, give in to that's pulling you away. And you'll get a lot of money. Or you'll get more prestige. Or you'll have more opportunities. That old spirit saying, come over here. They have church too many times a week, anyhow. Once a week's enough for anybody. I've noticed that people who choose once a week sometimes don't show up for 2 or 3 weeks. The better thing is to do is no matter what it takes, once you get a hold of this thing, hold on to it. It's like you're playing tug of war. And so if you don't turn loose the rope, you still got a chance to win this thing. Amen. When we used to play tug of war when I was a kid, you know, I'd be losing, that other side would be dragging me forward. You know, I'd hold on though. I'd hold on. And sometimes it'd just be 2 or 3 of us and maybe 10 on the other end of that rope. And they'd be pulling us and we'd be sliding across the grass and falling down. But we were holding on, holding on. Sometimes we had to call for a little help. Hey, hey, somebody come over here and help us. And after a while, a few more hands joined in. They grabbed that rope. And then we started going back the other way, pulling that other team, pulling that other team. And all it took was just a few more people getting involved. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes the church folks, the local church folks, we just need you to show up so we can enjoy praising God with you. Because there's victory in praise. There's power in praise. There's something. It's not that numbers is everything, but I want to tell you, when you get a room full of people praising God, it's a whole lot better than having about half of them or two-thirds of them out there somewhere bowing down to the pressures of this Antichrist spirit world. It's better just to escape all that and get in church. Lift those hands and praise God. Shout hallelujah. Be known as one who's part of this thing. Hold on to it with all your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, I might seem like I put rules on everybody. You need to go to church. You better go to church. You need to go to church. But all I'm doing is trying to encourage you to go to church, because the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And it's so much more as you see the time approaching. Make sure you get together with the people of God. We need to get together with the people of God. Even if it's out on a creek bank or around a shade tree somewhere, we need to assemble ourselves together. This old spirit that comes around says, but I can serve God just as well at home. I don't have to go to church. Nobody said you have to go to church all the time, but don't you want to? Dear old brother died not too long ago. Got a message he preached, you got to have a want to. He was born with, what was it, muscular dystrophy or something like that. I mean, he was so handicapped. He had to, you know, when he just to tie his shoes or something, it was such strong, hard work. But he tells a story. It's on that website. He tells a story about how he endured and came through all this. And the title of his message is, "You Got to Have a Want To." And that particular night that he told the story, he was in front of a large audience. And it was on the Focus on the Family program. And here's this man. They said he had no chance, he couldn't do anything, but he overcame things. There were some people wanting to give him a scholarship to college and ask him where he wanted to go because he had overcome so many things and earned a scholarship. And they were going to pay his way to the college of his choice. And he told these people, "I want to go to an apostolic Bible college and be a preacher." And that wasn't what they wanted to hear. And he kept on insisting, "That's what I want to do." They told him he couldn't preach. Even his pastor told him he couldn't preach. His parents told him he couldn't preach. But he said, "God told me to preach." Thank you, Jesus. Gotta have a want to. He became one of the most dynamic preachers you ever heard. Amen. He never did lose that condition. He could barely move as far as getting around, but he could preach. And he could bring the house down worshiping and praising God. It doesn't matter what condition you're in, if you want to, you can serve God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, listen. I just hope I can get this message into just one person's head. Just one person's head. All this struggle that people are going through trying to cope with life, that's nothing other than playing tug of war with an antichrist spirit. Have faith in God. They sit and talk to me sometimes for hours and say, "I just don't know what to do." I know what to do, but when I tell them, they won't listen to me. They go back and say, "I just got to find an answer." You can tell them over and over, the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that. They're looking for something else. When they find it, it's going to be an error. That's one message you're going to remember, aren't you? You don't remember anything else I ever preached. You remember, that's my subject today. That old signal, you're in error. You've made a mistake. You've got a problem. The mistake is not drinking too much, smoking too much. It's not carousing around too much. That's not the problem. When you get the problem fixed, all that stuff will straighten out. All we got to do is start believing in the real God. And confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Not just the flesh that was at Jerusalem, but in your stupid, weak flesh.
You need to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to be confessing that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. It was Jesus that made me what I am. It is Jesus that keeps me going. It is Jesus that has set me free. It is Jesus that's lifting me up. It is Jesus that's causing me to be able to have the victory in my life. And to confess that anything else is responsible for your power and your joy and your victory is Antichrist. Praise Jesus with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes, but the mistakes are not really the problems. You're going to let a word slip sometimes, but that's not the problem. You're going to reach for the wrong thing and do the wrong thing, and you might even get caught, but that's not the problem. A lot of people confess and get humbled, and they cry and everything when they get caught. They apologize and say, I'm sorry, and they do all kinds of snotting around saying, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And they've been doing it for years. You just didn't know it. But now they got caught and they're sorry. The problem is not the fact they got caught. And the problem is not what they've been doing all these years. Oh, my God. If we can get to the root of the problem, all that will get straightened out. We need to come to that point where we confess and believe in our heart. The Baptists talk about it all the time. And they're right in saying this. If you confess and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Only problem is they're saying it to the wrong crowd. And many times the ones that are saying it haven't really confessed and believed in their hearts. Because they won't baptize in Jesus' name. They talk about a triune God and three persons that doesn't exist. But I'm not against the Baptists. Most of my friends in the Baptist church know I love them. I'm not against the Baptists. I'm not against any good thing they're doing. I praise God for all the good that they are doing. But every Baptist, every Catholic, every Methodist, every Protestant, every Jew needs to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because this word says repent and be baptized every one of you. That leaves nobody out. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. Now, if you know how to get your sins remitted, why do it any other way? Because some old spirits out here say, there's another way that's just as good. Thank you, Jesus. Every preacher needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because preaching and pastoring people and telling them that you're baptizing them in Jesus' name and then taking them to the water and saying, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and bringing them out of the water. All you have done is taken the people to the water and lied to them while you were putting them under the water. You told them that you're baptizing them in the name of Jesus, and you didn't even speak the name. That's not baptism in the name of Jesus when you say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Try to put that on your check, in the name of the husband, the Son, the Father, the school teacher. You might have money in the bank, but you sign it with those titles. See how far it gets you. In the name of the daughter, in the name of the mother, in the name of the housewife. Uh-uh. You know what the bank's going to say? Same thing Jesus says if you try to do something in any other way when he says, do all. And he says, every one of you, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And don't try to settle for getting sprinkled with a few drops of water and call it holy water. There is no holy water. Doesn't exist. I'm not fighting anybody that does. I'm just saying they need to be rescued from this Antichrist spirit. In fact, I was talking to a Catholic priest some time ago, and he told me he knows who the Antichrist is. I said, who? And he said, the Pope. That was a Catholic priest that told me that. I'm not fighting anybody. They're all fighting amongst themselves, evidently. But I'm just telling you, the only thing that's holy about the water is your obedience to God. The only thing that's holy, it's not the water. It's when you get in the water, you're doing something that is holy. Praise God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, there's something beautiful about going down in that water. There was a place where they baptized people in the Bible, said, for there was much water there. And when Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, they went down into the water. Both of them went down into the water. I don't think they went down into the water and picked up a little cup and sprinkled it on their head and said, now you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Everywhere we see anybody baptized in the Bible, they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they go under the water. And God never changed it. I am God and I do not change, saith the Lord. I change not. What God was, He still is. What the Word was, it still is. What the instructions were, they still are. Oh, thank God. And you know, it's really not that bad a deal. We hear a lot of people say, by grace you're saved. Jesus did it all at Calvary. The grace of God is sufficient to do it all. You're saved by grace. Absolutely. We all know that I didn't do anything to merit my salvation. Jesus did it all. But we have instructions in the Bible. Even Adam and Eve had instructions to follow. God gave Adam instructions. He said, there's a tree out there that you're not to eat of. Don't partake of that fruit. And this man had a God to obey. That God that he could have obeyed and caused me to have a lot less problems if I could have existed. But think about it. If he had obeyed, he'd still be alive and we wouldn't probably even be here. Because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And if Adam never had sin, we couldn't have got here. Because there'd be no sin. Figure that one out if you want to. But if Adam had not sinned, and if Eve had never sinned, the whole order of life would be different. Maybe we would be here, but it would not be as we know it. There would be no sin in the world. Praise God. That means that probably you wouldn't really have to worry about working, because if anybody wanted to, they'd probably make enough money just to share it with you. And they'd love you for wanting it. And they'd give you as much as you need. There would be no greed. And if you decided you'd like to have a job and you had an employer, he would be a nice guy. And he'd be constantly looking for an opportunity to give you a raise, whether you work or not. And you'd be constantly saying to him, oh, I don't need the money. I'll work for nothing. I just love my boss. It's hard to imagine a world like that, isn't it? We wouldn't have any churches to go to. Did you know when you get to heaven, there's nobody going to be praying up there? Let me just get your mind rattled a little bit. There ain't going to be a single soul in heaven praying. There's not going to be any churches to go to when you get to heaven.
Oh, it's getting quiet in here. What is prayer? It's because you need something. You're asking God to do something only God can do. Look, when you get to heaven, it's all done. It's all taken care of. No more sickness. No more trouble. No more mosquito bites. No more whooping cough. No more measles. No more dying. Nobody hurting. Nothing going wrong. Sounds kind of boring, doesn't it? I'm looking forward to no aches, no pains, no rheumatism, no arthritis, no bald heads. That don't mean you can't go, brother. That just means. But look, you know, I was in a church once when the preacher said something like that. Said, "There ain't gonna be any old people in heaven." And an elderly lady sitting on the front row. She said, "I want to go to heaven." But when you get there, there won't be any old age. You might have been old on this earth, but if when you get to heaven, I can't explain it. I don't know what some of you look like. I've never seen you when you wasn't looking old and worn out. It's hard for me to imagine me meeting up with my grandpa who died. You know, I was just a kid, 8 years old when he passed away. And he was an old, bald-headed man walking around with a walking stick, feeble. Hard for me to imagine meeting him and knowing who he is. Because he won't be old. He won't have that walking cane anymore. And he won't be walking with that limp anymore. But you know what? I'm not going up there to look for my grandpa. And I ain't going up there to look for my daddy. I expect him to be there. I wrote a song years ago. When heaven's gate swings open wide and I know I've made it inside, I'll hurry through the street of my new home. I won't be looking for my mother, my daddy, my harp, or a golden crown. I won't stop until I make it to the throne. That's where I'll be if you should look for me. The one thing I want to do when I get to heaven is I want to find Jesus. I want to go up to Him and I want to thank Him for a long, long time. And I want to praise Him because I came through the barriers. I came through the valleys, through the walls, through the opposition, through the currents against me, through the problems, through the disappointments, through the pressures, and I made it! With the help of Jesus, we can make it. We can make it. Why don't you just wave your hands and praise the Lord? Just wave your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sat with some pastors, and I'm almost through. I sat with some pastors through the years and listened to them talk and watched them operate. Saw how they deal with people. And I learned some valuable lessons from some old, veteran, seasoned men of God that had been around a long time and how they deal with people and their problems. And I watched, especially like when I was with Brother Rome for a few years, as people would come into his office, all bent out of shape, just a mess. And they'd unload those problems on that dear pastor. And he'd sit there and just look at them. His expression wouldn't change on his face. He wasn't frowning and he wasn't smiling. He was just sitting there looking at them. He had that certain look at, you know, set jaw and just a certain look. And you never knew what was on his mind. It just if everything's going great and you just want to share good joy with him and talk about it, he still looks the same. Or if you go in and you've just had an affair with your next door neighbor's wife or husband and you confess it to him, he don't change. Or if your wife just ran away with a dog, he don't change. He just listens. And he always ends up the conversation by saying, "God's good."
I always knew that I could expect that to come out of his mouth at the end of the problem, whatever it was. God's good. After a while, I'd hear him say, God's so good. And they said, well, Brother Rome, she did this and she did that. And this is going on and those kids are doing this. And I don't know what we're going to do. And he'd just sit there and look at them. God's good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Good.
You know why? That is the answer. When we start confessing God being good, and we start realizing that He will not do bad things to us. And if we've got a problem, we can take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what church is for. We need church in this old world. We need prayer in this old world. We need each other in this old world. We need fellowship. We need encouragement. We need to get together and testify and sing and praise God and preach to each other. Hallelujah. We need this. When we get to heaven, it's all going to be left behind. But it was this that got us there. This praying and praising. And going to church, reading our Bible, saying hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And obedience to God. I saw dear old Brother Rome saying God's good over and over to these people. Then I heard the story after I'd been with him for a while. Some of you haven't heard this. He started to build that church there in St. Louis, Missouri area, in Bridgeton, Missouri. He was having church in his home, and then he outgrew the home, and then they got him a small building and outgrew the building, had a couple of hundred people, and they needed some property, and they needed to build a church. And he was in the midst of all this when he came down with a major heart attack. And the doctor told Sister Rome, your husband will never preach again. His days of ministry are over. He will never be able to do hardly anything except just lie around and be still. Any exerting himself will finish him off because it was a massive heart attack. So all he could do was lie on the bed just like a vegetable. He's just weak. And on a Sunday morning, in that condition, Brother Rome looked over at his wife and said, honey, dress me, clean me up, call an ambulance, tell them to bring a stretcher, and take me to church. She said, why, Guy? His name was Guy Rome. He said, because I'm going to preach. She said, the doctor said you could never preach again. He said, but God gave me a message. And since God gave it to me, I'm going to preach it. She dressed him up, shaved him, cleaned him up, called the ambulance. They came, put him on the stretcher, took him to the church that he had just been building and had it practically built. They wheeled him down the aisle of the church. Several hundred people were there feeling sorry for him. Their pastor could hardly move. All white. Lost a lot of weight. Massive heart attack, and they all knew that it was just a matter of time and he would be gone. They rolled him up to the front of the church. He said, take me up on the platform. They took him up on the platform. He said, take me to the pulpit. They took him to the pulpit. He couldn't stand up. He said, put me in a chair. They put a chair in front of the pulpit. He put his knees in the chair and leaned over and looked at those hundreds of people in that condition. And he said, God's good. If we can start saying God's good and meaning it, wonderful things can happen. Because that's what the Antichrist spirit cannot do. It cannot say God's good and mean it.
It's always wanting to find an alternate plan. It's always wanting to find another way around. This is good, that's good. Try this, try that, but God's good. And Jesus is God, and God is good. And what Brother Rome was doing that morning is going against the Antichrist spirit, going against the flow that had come against him. He had come to the point where he decided, all the wind that's blowing against me, I'm going to blow back. And all the current that's coming against me is just going to have to stop because I'm going to walk upstream. And the wall that's before me is either going to have to come crumbling down or I'm just going to run through it. But he was so weak, all he could say was, God's good. Then he said, God's good. God's good. God's good. Then he took one foot off the chair, they said, and he said, God's good. He took the other leg and went, God's good. God's good. God's good. God's good. God's good. Then he started running around and around the church. God's good. God's good. He lived another 40 years shouting and praising a good God. If God can do that, just because somebody used two words to confess that Christ has come in the flesh. That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. I don't care how weak that flesh is. I don't care how run down you are, how frail you are, how hurting you are. Jesus has come in the flesh. Let's stand and praise our Jesus. Let's praise our Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This flesh that wants to sin. This flesh that wants to mess up. This flesh that gets sick. This flesh that has evil thoughts. This flesh that gets itself in a mess. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And I'm confessing it today. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my Savior. And if there's any Antichrist spirit here, get out. Because Jesus has come in the flesh. And you can't say that and mean it and have a devil in you at the same time. Let's praise God. Let us praise God. Let us praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody say, Jesus has come in the flesh. My flesh. My flesh. I have victory because Jesus has come in the flesh. And I'm not of the Antichrist spirit because Jesus has come in the flesh. I think that's worth giving it some praise. If you're able to say that and mean it. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come in a program that says you got to keep standing up before everybody saying I'm a failure over and over. Jesus didn't come in a program that says I'm an alcoholic and I haven't had a drink for several months or several years, but I know I'm an alcoholic and I'm here to tell you all I'm an alcoholic. Look, you come to this church and confess Jesus has come in the flesh and you're not an alcoholic anymore. You're not a drug addict anymore. You're not a whoremonger anymore. You're a son of God and all the old stuff has passed away and behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Jesus. I learned not to worry about the problems. Because the problems are not the problem. If we can just get a God's good into the head of the crying, helpless individual that doesn't know what to do, the problems will be solved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you got that message today because it's as simple as that message Brother preached Brother Rome preached that day when he walked around, ran around the church saying God's good over and over. It's all he said. The whole message was God's good. That was a powerful message. You know, when I was a kid, a preacher preached a sermon. I remember there were about 40 preachers sitting on that platform. But I only remember one sermon. Just like some of these children are going to remember what I said today, and they're going to remember anything else I talk about for a while. But they're going to remember, They'll remember that. I remember that one sermon when I was a child. I went to this meeting, and they had all these preachers sitting up there. And they all had these sermons, and they all had, you know, they had these little bells that would ring. And when the preacher went too long, they'd set him down and go to the next one because they had to draw numbers and do the little three-minute thing. Some of them tried to go 4 minutes. They got in trouble. And I was watching all this go on. So one of the preachers, he was kind of a simple guy, but he never got a chance to preach hardly because he was in a church full of preachers. But he got a chance that day to get his 3 minutes. And that's the only message I remember. I was a child. Now I was in that place, but I'll never forget that message. It's the only one I remember. I remember exactly what he preached. He got up and he said, I'm going to preach about love. And he went around and pointed every one of them preachers right in the face and said, have you got it? 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 And 3 minutes went up, went by, he sat down. But I remember that message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I said to you today, Jesus is God. God is good. And all things you're dealing with can be overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Confess Jesus. Believe Jesus. If you get that message today, your problems are solved. Hallelujah.